Astapur Kijai, Premsi Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunita Nanda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Kijai, Sri Sri Radhishama Sundar Gopa Gopinath, Shamakun, Radhakun, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Kijai, Mathura Dham Kijai, Navadvipa Dham Kijai, Jagannath Puri Dham Kijai, Jagannath Swami Kijai, Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, we're on Chapter 2, which is Remembrance of Lord Krishna. We're on text number 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, translator and commentator, who brought his books with him on his voyage, and then he was ready. He said, I'm not going to America. It's Srimad Bhagavatam that's going, and I'm going with them. What's the next line? By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. So text 17. Duno ticheta smarato mamaitad.
Duno ticheta smarato
smarato mamaitad.
Duno ticheta smarato mamaitad.
Yad aha pada avivanya pitro.
Yad aha pada avivanya pitro.
Yad aha pada avivanya pitro. Smarato mamaitan. Aha para avivan de pitro. Tatamba kamsa uru sankitanam.
Tatamba kamsa uru sankitanam.
Vasi de tamno kritanis kritinam.
Vasi de tamno kritanis
kritinam. Please chant.
Yeah.
heart.
Heart.
Smarata.
Smarata.
While thinking of.
Mama.
Mama.
My.
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Yat.
Yes.
As much as.
As much as.
Aha.
Aha.
Said.
Said.
Hadao.
Hadao.
Eat.
Eat.
Abhivandya.
Abhivandya.
Worshipping.
Worshipping.
Bitro.
Bitro.
Of the parents.
Of
the parents. Tata.
Tata.
My dear father.
My dear father.
Amba.
Amba.
My dear mother.
Kamsat,
out of Kamsas, Uru,
Uru,
great, Sankitanam,
of those who are afraid,
Prasidatam,
be
pleased with,
Na,
our, Akrita,
not executed,
Nishkritinam, duty to serve you. So this is Uddhava speaking to Vidura. Lord Krishna begged pardon from his parents for their, Krishna and Balaram's, inability to serve their feet due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. He said, "Oh mother, oh father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart." Let's say it together. Lord Krishna begged pardon from his parents for their, Krishna and Balaram's, inability to serve their feet due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. He said, "Oh mother, oh father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart." I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I beg for service at his lotus feet, life after life, and am very grateful that he made so much endeavor to come all the way over to this horrible place. Otherwise, where would we be now? I'm sure a few of us have thought of that. Where would we be now? Okay, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Before I go into the purport, I'm just going to put it in context, so because these are very spontaneous expressions of Uddhava's remembrance of the Lord and his remembrance of the different activities of the Lord. So the circumstance being that, going back a chapter or two, when repeated instruction was trying to be given to Dhritarashtra by Vidura and many other great personalities to return the kingdom to the Pandavas. At one particular point, the Pandavas, Vidura was there giving instruction. It doesn't matter, it's hardly on. I know, but it's not even doing anything. Sorry. Okay, sorry. Hare Krishna. Vidura. Yeah, Vidura was trying to give instructions to Dhritarashtra on that he should return the kingdom because it actually does rightly belong to the sons of Pandu, Yudhisthira and his brothers, return the kingdom to him. One particular point when he was giving that instruction, to the point, Duryodhan was there, became angry, insulted Vidura to the point where he said he should be beaten practically to death, rejected from the kingdom and left with only his life breath. That's how much he's offended me and how he's a traitor to our cause, etc., etc. So interestingly enough, Vidura took it as a great blessing. It was a shock to be spoken to so rudely and disrespectfully by his nephew, but at the same time, he realized that there was no hope for rectifying the situation through him by good counsel. So, and at the same time, Dhritarashtra didn't speak up and defend him or anything, or tell us, but we already knew that was going to happen. Okay, so, Vidura took it as the internal potency of the Lord. Now Krishna is so kindly presenting this horrible situation for me just to extricate my, just to alleviate my entanglement in this palace politics. Now let me go. He left his bow in the door because he realized, Prabhupada says in the purport, he realized there was no need of defending Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra with his bow because they were on their path to hell and they weren't gonna, there was no saving them. He left and he goes on pilgrimage. He travels all around without his normal clothing and attire, and he was unrecognizable by the citizens, although he was a very popular person and everybody knew him. But because he left all his normal dressing and clothes and just acted like a mendicant, nobody even noticed him. So in his travels, he goes to all places of pilgrimage, etc., etc. At a certain point, he comes into contact with Vidura, and he's very ecstatic to have that association, because he knows Vidura is such a dear devotee of Krishna. Now, Vidura had heard of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty, but it was so unpalatable and such a shock to hear that they had killed themselves in this unusual situation of a threat, that he was shocked. So when he doesn't meet Vidura, he wants to hear about Krishna and Krishna's qualities and pastimes and activities, but he also wants to hear about his family members. So he's asking about what Krishna and Balaram and what everybody's doing and this and that and this and that. So on being questioned by Vidura, Uddhava just goes into a trance, an ecstatic trance. And so it explains in the Bhagavatam verse that he was in a trance for a muhurta. Muhurta is 48 minutes. It's not a short, it's not like a couple of minutes. It's 40, according to the divisions of time, that chapter, division of time, a muhurta is 48 minutes. So imagine you're having a conversation with somebody and they has stopped talking to you and withdraw everything for a minute or two or 5 minutes or 10 minutes. That's like kind of awkward. And you're kind of wondering, what, should I do? Or, I'll be, 48 minutes is another dimension to that. So anyway, but Vidura, knowing fully well that Uddhava's an especially qualified devotee of the Lord, understood the symptoms of ecstatic trance and didn't disturb him. He just patiently waited for him to come back, you could say, to this earthly plane. So that's how great Uddhava's love for Krishna was. That he was, that's just one manifestation of it. So when he's answering these questions of Vidura, he just randomly, and this is what the part we're in, just yesterday Chaturatma's verse was Uddhava explaining that when I think of Krishna and how he was born in the prison house, all of these and how he went away from the prison house of Kamsa out of fear of Kamsa, he left and went to Nanda Maharaj's house out of fear of Kamsa, all of these contradictory activities give me pain at heart. So, and Chaturatma spoke about the contradictory activities of the Lord. How he's the Supreme Personality, how can you explain that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-powerful person who's in control of all of the universes and all the planetary systems, is afraid of a person and has to run away? He doesn't, obviously, when you analyze it, he obviously isn't afraid of them. And he doesn't have to run away, but he does it because he's absorbed in the pastime. That's the thing that's bewildering and ecstatic about Krishna. When he executes his pastimes in whatever, in Nisringadeva, Vamana, Krishna, whatever form of, and Krishna and the coward boy, he's totally absorbed in that pastime and forgetting his powers and this and that. It's a term, the Sanskrit term is called mugdata. His consciousness becomes condensed to only being absorbed in the present moment of that pastime, mugdata. So now he's continuing his grant. These remembrances of Krishna's pastimes and activities are quite random. He'll remember, yesterday he was remembering the activities in the prison house and going, now he's remembering a different thing, and in the next verse, so it's all random, spontaneous thoughts that come to Uddhava's mind. Starting on verse 24, a few more verses ahead, 24, 25, then he'll start remembering Krishna's pastimes in a systematic way from when he was born and his childhood activities. But right now, he's just so overwhelmed with ecstatic emotion that these random thoughts come to him and he's remembering them. So today's verse, I'll just read it again. Okay. Lord Krishna begged pardon from his parents for their, Krishna and Balaram's, inability to serve their feet due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. He said, "Oh mother, oh father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart." So Srila Prabhupada's purport. It appears that Lord Krishna and Baladev were both very greatly afraid of Kamsa, and therefore they had to hide themselves. So then, well, let's remember it, Krishna's appearance. So before Krishna appeared, right before he appeared, after the exchange, okay, hold on. Well, that's going to be in the purport. Anyway, after the exchange of the Madhya Yasoda's girl for Krishna and this and that, and Kamsa brings home the girl, puts it beside Devaki, and Kamsa comes in. Is it Vasudev? And then Kamsa comes in and takes the girl, and it wants to dash her on the ground and kill her. How ghastly, no? And right in front of the mother. Sometimes we read these things and you don't really think through the emotions that would go through if you were there or if that was you. If you were a mother and just gave birth to a baby, somebody comes in, picks her up by the leg, and has all intention of smashing that little soft body on the ground to kill it. Imagine the emotions that would go through. Anyway, when he picks the baby up to dash her up, to throw her on the ground, she slips out of his hand and rises into the sky and says, "Kamsa, the person that you're afraid of has been born elsewhere." So, my point is, if that manifestation of Durga, the could exhibit that much power, how is it that Krishna, the baby Krishna, has to act like he's afraid of Kamsa? Krishna could have killed Kamsa even without adventing on earth, but he certainly could have killed Kamsa the very first moment he appeared, but still he goes through the activities. And why does he go through all these different activities and pastimes and intimate exchanges with his devotees? To pull out the love of the devotees from their heart so that they become exclusively holy and continually attached to him. And that's his mission. How to attract the conditioned souls who have forgotten him, forgotten Krishna, and are totally busy in the material world trying to find happiness apart from Krishna, in a mission impossible, trying to find happiness in the material world. And he's trying to say, "No, no, turn around. It's not that way. It's over here. Look." Not me, but Krishna. "Look. It's Krishna. Look. I'm the Supreme Lord. If you put your love in me, then you'll be happy." So all of these activities that he's doing are to attract the conditioned souls to love for himself. Continuing. "But if Lord Krishna and Balaram are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how was it possible that they were afraid of Kamsa? Is there any contradiction in such statement?" Yes, there is. It's so contradictory. And that's the thing that's wonderful about Krishna. Practically everything he does is very inexplicable to material logic, you could say, to material logic. Vasudev, due to his great appreciation for Krishna, wanted to give him protection. He never thought that Krishna was the Supreme Lord and could protect himself. He thought that Krishna was his son. And this is the point, that because all Krishna's devotees serve Krishna in certain different moods of relationship with him, they're totally absorbed in that mood of relationship with him. And therefore, Krishna reciprocates with that relationship. And fulfills the desires of his devotee even more than they could even possibly imagine. So Vasudeva, thinking, I'm Krishna's father, is thinking, I need to protect him from Kamsa. He can't stay here. He's right in Kamsa's eyesight. We have to hide him. We have to get him out of here. So Vasudeva brings him to Nanda's house. Because Vasudeva was a great devotee of the Lord, he did not like to think that Krishna might be killed like his other children. Morally, Vasudeva was bound to deliver Krishna to the hands of Kamsa because he had promised to turn over all his children. And that's another aspect of Krishna's relationship with his devotees that he likes to bring out from their heart. So Vasudeva, Krishna's father, was very well known for his truthfulness. And he was very well known for being a man of his word. So when Kamsa heard the unembodied voice, right as he's bringing Devaki and Vasudeva on the chariot to their house, right after their marriage ceremony, auspicious marriage ceremony, he hears the unembodied voice that says, you know, your sister's eighth son is going to kill you. You're such a fool to be bringing her so gloriously to her house. Kamsa immediately just dropped just hearing that, he immediately changed his whole perspective on his relationship with his sister, forgot all friendly sibling relationships, any bondage that was there. Grabbed her by the hair, raised his sword, he's going to cut her head off, like in 5 seconds flat. Here's the voice, she's ready to do it. And Vasudeva's thinking, oh my Krishna, what am I going to do? So he tries to talk him out of it. The only way that he can talk him out of it, he can't talk him out of it by reminding him, you know, it's not very auspicious to kill your sister on the day of her wedding. It's not going to look good for your reputation. That doesn't impact him at all. Doesn't impact him that, you know, if you do this act, you're going to suffer. That doesn't impact him. But when Vasudeva says, okay, you're not in danger at all from Devaki. She's not going to kill you. It's her sons that are going to kill you, one of her sons. So I promise I'll bring you all her sons on their birth and you can do the needful. That impacted him so much because of Vasudeva's strong adherence to religious principles of always telling the truth. So that brings a certain type of abhiman, a certain type of mentality in a person. I'm a religious person. I'm a truthful person. I'm a this. I'm a dharma body or this or that. You know, I can do these things. So you have they have a certain mentality, and they want to stick to that, those auspicious activities. So Krishna loves it to have the devotees even break that moralistic propensity for a higher purpose out of love for him, not for a low purpose, not for money, this, that, whatever. Fame. No. But out of love for him, Krishna is always trying to extract the highest degree of love from his devotees. And that's what he did with the gopis too. Very nicely, religiously raised young girls in the village and attracted to Krishna, and he's churning their love for him so much to the point that they're willing to give up everything, leave the house in the middle of the night, you know, and go to see Krishna just for his pleasure because he's calling them. Our Lord, he's not a person of wishy-washy character. He likes extremes. He likes extreme love for him. And he tries to extract that because that's the highest form of morality or religiousness. Extreme love for the Supreme Lord, that one is willing to do anything. And that reminds me of Srila Prabhupada, how he was so willing, just like how he was so willing to take up the instruction of his spiritual master, go to the West and preach with not any support at all. We're just now reading in Lila Musa, and I'm so happy that we're reading it now because it correlates exactly with the time frame of Prabhupada taking the the voyage and et cetera, and arriving in Boston Harbor, et cetera, et cetera. But what Prabhupada had to do with what faith he had to have, how much faith, how hard he tried to establish programs in India at that time, and only getting a little bit of success. The most success that he was about to have was when the circumstance in Jhansi was happening and he was about to be able to utilize the temple in Jhansi for a base of the League of Devotees. And at the last minute, even that was removed from him. Why? So if you look at that and you take your camera out and you take a picture and you get your karma camera, and you think, oh, that's really bad karma. You know, he's tried so hard and he hasn't been successful. That's kind of an indication that, you know, there's bad karma there. But actually, because Krishna had a higher plan, he didn't want Prabhupada to be successful at that time in India. He wanted Prabhupada to go to the West and be successful and then come back to India. That was his plan. What a brilliant plan it was. You know, so we can take what lesson we can take in our life is when the difficulties come in our lives, the setbacks, the challenges, the this and the that. You know, we're trying to go this way, even in an attempt for preaching or whatever, expanding the movement in some way or other, and the doors and the road is blocked and it's blocked and it's blocked and it's blocked, and it could be very discouraging. You could think, oh, it's my bad karma. It's Krishna's plan. He has a higher plan. Let's surrender to his plan. Let's keep an attitude of faithfully trying to execute, as Srila Prabhupada did, faithfully trying to execute the orders of his spiritual master against all odds, and totally surrendered, and awaiting, as was expressed in this prayer, the prayer on his arrival in Boston. If you want me to do this, I don't know why you brought me to this hellish place. I don't know why. I can't figure it out. Why me? But because you brought me here, because I've been ordered here by my spiritual one, let me try. And if you want, you can make your words powerful so that they can hear, if you want. And that was his grand success, and that's our benefit, our grand success, to be around, to receive these potent words of Srila Prabhupada through the parampara system, through the potent and the potency of Krishna. I'm going back to the verse now, sorry. Okay, so I got a little distracted when it said, morally, Vasudeva is bound to deliver Krishna to the hands of Kamsa because he had promised to turn over all his children. But out of his great love for Krishna, he broke his promise. And the Lord was very pleased with Vasudeva for his transcendental mentality. He did not want to disturb the intense affection of Vasudeva, and he agreed to be carried by his father to the house of Nanda and Yasoda. But even that voyage was wrought with difficulty. Even Vasudeva carrying Krishna to the house of Nanda Maharaj, there was a glitch, you could say. There was a glitch, there was a test, there was a trial. When Vasudeva is carrying Krishna through the Jamuna, which is swelling up due to rain, and Krishna falls out of the basket into the water. Whoa! Again, we can hear the story. Oh yeah, and Krishna fell out and Vasudeva got him and Haribol, and then he went to Nanda Maharaj's house. But how about this? Slow down a little bit. There he is, carrying Krishna on his head through the water in the Jamuna, and somehow little wiggly Krishna falls out of the basket into the water. Can you imagine the emotional
trauma,
thank you, that Vasudeva went through as he's trying to get the baby quickly, because how long can a baby last in water? You know, not long at all, a few seconds. Little baby, you know, little newly born baby. He's getting okay. Oh my God, Hare Krishna. That love for Krishna, that although it was traumatic, it was the one or a very high intense level of demonstrating and feeling the love of Krishna. Imagine how much his love for Krishna had increased once he had him back in his arms again. And that was Krishna. That was Krishna's plan. Oh, let me just
give a little excitement to this journey. Okay, so, and here's how Papa says, and just to test the intense love of Vasudev, Lord Krishna fell down into the waters of the Jamuna while his father was crossing the river. Vasudev became mad after his child as he tried to recover him in the midst of the rising river. Whoa! Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada continues, these are all glorified pastimes of the Lord, and there's no contradiction in such manifestations. Now here we are talking about all the contradictions that Krishna has, even just as a young baby, there's, you know, he's the all-powerful Lord, but it appears that he's moved by fear of Kamsa to another place to hide, and so many activities, contradictory activities. And Prabhupada says, there is no contradiction in such manifestations. And here's the explanation. Since Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he was never afraid of Kamsa. But to please his father, he agreed to be so. He's reciprocating. And the most brilliant part of his supreme character was that after all of that, here he is at this particular point, begging pardon. He's asking for forgiveness. Let me just read it. He begged pardon from his parents for being unable to serve their feet while absent from home because of fear of Kamsa. It's amazing. In other words, what predominating quality is being exhibited over and over and over and over again in these types of contradictory pastimes? That God is a person. We say it, yet personality, God's a person. But person means that he has a personality, he has feelings and everything, to the highest level of degree. Not like, you know, in comparison to ours, but not like ours, not limited like ours, unlimitedly. So he's a person, everything that he does is to bring out that intense loving feeling for the Lord, from his devotee for the Lord. So if we would take that clue and bring it into our daily life when we meet repeated challenges and obstacles and whatever in our daily life, some to smaller degrees, some to larger degrees, some more traumatic than others, some just small botherations. If we would bring that into our, remember that this is Krishna. Everything's arranged perfectly by the Lord. All the things that I planned, even though nothing is going to get done today according to my plan, everything's going to get done according to the Lord's plan. And if I can see that this obstacle and this or this and this challenge is a plan of the Lord, it's particularly designed for me, for my remembrance of the Lord, then my attitude in going through those little challenges is a whole different, it's on a whole different level. And ultimately, on that level, will bring us closer to him at every step. Even though my plan was this, and it came out like that, still, if I see it as Krishna's plan, then I'll appreciate it, and some of my agitation will be mitigated, and hopefully more as the day goes by, the more that I remember that it's all Krishna's plan, perfectly arranged. So he's that, and this is the thing that Uddhava is remembering. Krishna begging pardon from Vasudeva and Devaki. So the circumstance being is after Kamsa sent Asura to Vrindavan to bring Krishna to Mathura to have a wrestling match, and he took care of the wrestlers, no problem. And he broke the bow, no problem. And then after he smashed all the wrestlers, he and Balaram smashed all the wrestlers, Kamsa, in a fit of frenzy, freaks out and says, arrest Vasudev, arrest all the coward men, take all their goods, kill this one, kill that one, do this, do that. And Krishna's there. Oh yeah? And he says, and so he jumps up on the dais and he just with one blow smashes him. And then to show that he's really dead, because Kamsa was so powerful and people were so afraid of him, just to, you know, they weren't 100% sure that he was really dead. So Krishna drags him by the hair across the arena, the wrestling arena, so that people could see, he's really gone. And then the coward boys all jump down from the stands, and they start wrestling with Krishna, and they defeat Krishna in the wrestling, the mock wrestling that they're doing. And Krishna does that on purpose, just to show how his devotees are more powerful than he, how he's bound by the love of his devotees. So that's the quality that's going to bind Krishna to us. Our love for him is going to attract Krishna to us. And he'll be, oh, there's that nice new bhakta, and he's offering his flowers to Srila Prabhupada with so much love and devotion. Let me be kind upon him. Oh, there's this person who's trying so hard to remember me and all these circles. Let me give that blessing that they can come closer to me. That's what's going to bind. And that's, that reminds me of some more contradictions. So Krishna and his Damodara Leela, right? Coming up, we're going to be singing that wonderful song, Kartik song of the Damodara Leela, how Krishna, out of fear of Mother Yasoda, who's about to chastise him, his necklace is shaking, he's breathing quickly, his eyes are getting all teary, and he's smearing the cudgel all over his eyes. And yet, when Mother Yasoda tries to bind him, she can't get the rope around him. But she dressed him in the morning, you know. Krishna's not like stark naked at that particular point in the day. He's dressed, and she had put a little belt around his waist in the morning, a little tinkly decorative belt around his waist. But now there he is later on in the day, and she's trying to bind him because he's being so naughty. She's trying to bind him to the mortar and pestle, and he can't, and she can't do it until he agrees, until he sees how much endeavor she's making to do that. And then he lets himself get bound. Then there he is, bound to the mortar by Mother Yasoda's loving rope, and he can't free himself. Because why? Because he was bound by Mother Yasoda's love. So he can't untie that knot. And yet, when he crawls through the courtyard and goes between the two trees, he can liberate Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. He can liberate them from the bondage of being in a tree, but he can't undo the rope of love that Mother Yasoda tied around his waist. He's so contradictory. But his contradiction is for bringing out the love of his devotees. Okay, we're almost finished the purport. You'll be happy to know. The Lord, whose lotus feet are worshipped by demigods like Brahma and Shiva, wanted to worship the feet of Vasudeva. Such instruction by the Lord to the world is quite appropriate. Even if one is the Supreme Lord, one must serve his parents. I need to say that for myself again. Even if one is the Supreme Lord, one must serve his parents. A son is indebted to his parents in so many ways, and it is the duty of the son to serve his parents, however great the son may be. Which is practically a forgotten instruction in this day and age. In some cultures, it's quite remembered nicely, and there's nice things, but it's such an I, me, and mine, and for my, what's convenient for me, and if taking care of older personalities who can't remember much and need help standing up and sitting down and eating and et cetera, if that's too inconvenient, let's send them to some other place that can do that so that we can have our privacy and our life the way that we like it. There's a story that was, that I'll quickly tell you. There's a story after Maharaj Yudhisthira was reinstated on the throne. At one particular point, Bhima was standing outside the assembly hall. He was like the guard. He would screen people who wanted to go in. And one local citizen came up to him and said, I have to see Maharaj Yudhisthira right now. And Bhima said, you know, calm down. It's okay. Maybe I can help you. He said, no, I have to see Yudhisthira. Well, what's your problem? And then he said, well, I just saw something that's so bewildering, I need to know what the explanation is. Bhima says, well, tell me what it was. He said, well, I just saw a man He was carrying a bucket of water, and it was quite heavy, so he put it down. And then he poured that one, the container of the one bucket, he poured it into four vessels. And he distributed it in four. And then at the end, he took those individual four vessels and poured it back into his bucket. And the bucket wasn't full again. What's the meaning of that? And Bhima said, okay, you can go in and see Yudhisthira, he'll tell you. So this is a story that Bhaktipur Shottamaras spoke here in Alatra many years ago when he was here. And so he gave four different examples, that one of the man, another one of an elephant, another person, a separate person went in, came and asked the same, had the same circumstance, wanted to ask a question. I saw an elephant go through a hole in the fence, and after he went through, his tail got stuck. What does that mean? How did that happen? What's the meaning of that? Bhima said, go in, go in. So he told all of these people to go in. And then one other thing, Krishna's gradually helping me remember the four things. The last one that he said, I know there's one that I haven't remembered yet, but anyway, the last one he said, and then another person, a separate person came and asked, I just saw a man, an old, skinny old man. He was walking by a mountain of stone, and there was a vine hanging down. And he pulled the vine, and the whole mountain came down just by pulling that vine. What does that mean? Bhima said, go in. Go in and ask Yudhisthira. So at different times, so he was waiting for them to come out to tell him what the reason was, what the explanation that Yudhisthira gave. And none of them came out. Only they went in. So then Bhima got tired of waiting, so he went into the assembly house and he said, but then he didn't see the men. So he asked Yudhisthira, what's going on? Where are those men? Yudhisthira said, what men? No men came in here. Then he told him, he recounted the story where one had this question, one had that question. And Yudhisthira, reaction, he started yelling, where are they? This is the, and Bhima couldn't understand that either. He said, these were the personification of Kali. And here's the connection between this story and that story. The man, and so Bhima said, wait, you gotta explain it to me. He said, okay, the man who had the four buckets of water, the one full bucket and the four separate buckets, he's the parent, and he had four children, and he raised them from birth and gave them everything they needed. Yet in his old age, they did not reciprocate with him and take care of him, and therefore his bucket wasn't full. That was the connection there. And then I'll tell you the elephant one. The elephant one was the great political leaders and important people and rich people. They can do whatever they want and go through loopholes, you could say, in the law. And the common man, he gets a traffic violation, he gets a $400 fine and thrown in prison or whatever, you know. And the other one was a person saw a fence around an agricultural field. And the fence started eating the crops. So the explanation of that is that's another symptom of Kali Yuga, because those who are meant to protect the citizens, the fence, like kshatriyas or religious leaders, at a certain point they become corrupted and exploit the citizens, religious leaders or political people or whatever. That's symptoms of Kali Yuga. Anyway. Couple more sentences. What's that?
The mountain and the road.
Oh, thank you. That's another symptom of Kali Yuga, by Lord Chaitanya's grace. Every living entity has a mountain of sin, karmic reaction, a mountain, accumulated mountain of sinful reaction. But in this age, that vine, the chanting, our japa, that chanting of the Holy Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the means to eradicate all that mountain of sins. And it's so easy, just pull on that rope like you're doing right now. And all those sinful reactions are eradicated. Okay, a little bit more. Indirectly, Krishna wanted to teach the atheists who do not accept the Supreme Fatherhood of God that they may learn from this action how much the Supreme Father has to be respected. Uddhava was simply struck with wonder by such glorious behavior of the Lord, and he was very sorry that he was unable to go with him. So what is that referring to? That Krishna had told Uddhava, Uddhava intuitively could understand that Krishna was about to close his pastimes. Uddhava didn't want to stay behind. He wanted to go with the Lord to the next place of pastimes. But the Lord instructed Uddhava, no, I wasn't able to go see the sages at Bhadrak Ashram, and you know perfectly my instructions. Krishna started to give him 23 chapters of instructions in the 11th canto, the Uddhava Gita, even more than he instructed to Arjuna. And he wanted Uddhava to take that instruction and present it to the sages at Bhadrak Ashram. So Uddhava actually had already started to go to Bhadrak Ashram. At the point that we're meeting him, here, talking to Vidura, he had already started to go to Bhadrak Ashram, but he was feeling so much separation from the Lord that he couldn't go all the way. So he comes back a little bit, he meets with Vidura, etc., etc., and then he'll continue on his way in a bit. Hare Krishna. That's for today. Any comments, questions, corrections? I got my cookie.
Thank you so much for your explanations. I think this sentence and the way Prabhupada expressed it is just amazing. He says, and the most brilliant part of his supreme character. Just how often do we hear Prabhupada say something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
You know? But.
So what was the most brilliant part?
Was that Krishna was asking forgiveness for not staying around to serve his parents in his childhood because of his fear of Kamsa.
Which he didn't really have.
It didn't occur to me that he's actually acknowledging he had fear. But how did he manifest? I mean, was it just like the fatherly nature of Vasudev was to protect this innocent, helpless little newborn, and therefore Krishna reciprocated just by appearing as a newborn, even, right? But I somehow have a faint recollection, am I right? There was a voice that told Vasudev to go and do this, or was it just his own intuition, his own...
Krishna told him. Krishna told Vasudev when he appeared to take him to Nanda Maharaj's house.
Oh.
Am I right?
Oh, I see. So therefore, Krishna was expressing his fear then.
Yeah.
But how could he talk when he was just a baby?
Because he's the Supreme Lord.
Okay,
he never came in his four-handed form, and then David, he said, can you, like, get
okay,
it to
reduce
be normal
that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So then, it was then that he said, take me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And at the same time, he's expressing his fear. He's not afraid, which I know you understand that. But it's good to speak it out all the way, too. He's not afraid, but he's absorbed in the pastime. He's absorbed in the activity. So therefore, it's totally real, you know? And he doesn't miss an aspect. Again, emphasizing that he's a person, that the Lord is a person with feelings. And therefore, what he says, if you offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a water, I'll accept it. Why? Not that I need a leaf. I don't need a leaf. I don't need a flower. I don't need fruit. But I just want your devotion. So bring that devotion and I'll reciprocate with that. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very kind. Chita Krishna.
Thank you. Just a comment. I think you did a very good job in bringing out all these philosophical... You did a very good job in bringing out all these philosophical points, and your memory seems to be very good, even though you think it's shaky.
Hari Parshad Prabhu, he's a brilliant personality, a shining star in the landscape. He has a really nice prayer at the end of his classes that he says, and it's something like this. If you heard anything wonderful in this class, It didn't come from me. It's from things that I've heard from other people, and that's totally true. It's things that I've heard from other people. And if you did hear some mistakes, that was me. That was certainly me, because I'm full of mistakes. But it's so true. Anything that, or whatever, I just tried to repeat some of the things that I've been hearing lately. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, Srila Prabhupada's mercy.